Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Welcome to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.
Hey everybody, welcome to today's edition of the Salt and Light Podcast. I am your host, Chuck Fulkerson, joined by my beautiful bride, Annie, who is oftentimes standing akimbo next to me.
Oh, I've heard this before. Wait, doesn't that mean like Kitty Wampus?
Close. Just with your hand on your hip. You stand akimbo quite frequently.
Yeah.
You got that. You got like that that saunter going where you stand akimbo.
Of course, I don't think Kitty Wampus is an actual word.
I don't think Kitty Wampus is a word
that your mom uses.
Well, that's because when my mom walks, she kind of has like she broke her hip when she was younger and it never healed right.
Yeah.
So she
got thrown from a horse.
Yeah. Well, she shouldn't be giving that horse attitude and it wouldn't have been a problem. my guess is she made the horse angry. So the horse was like, no, we've had enough.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, so it's not a bad idea. Well,
use a lot of her vocabulary.
You do. Well, so do the boys. My mom has a very unique vocabulary, right? Like when you're not sick, you're sicky poo.
Sicky poo.
So John goes, Charlie always goes, aw, don't get sicky poo. Mm-hmm.
And when Charlie wakes up with like the worst cowlicks ever, we tell him that he looks like a ragamuffin.
A ragamuffin. Mm-hmm. A ragamuffin. I don't know if ragamuffin's my mom's word, but it's definitely.
I never heard it until I was assumed into the family.
It's definitely deep into her vernacular. There's no question.
Yeah.
So we are releasing tomorrow.
Thursday. Well, this will be Thursday.
That's
You'll
what
be
I
hearing
meant.
It Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. It's what I said.
Yeah. January 17th.
2019.
That's right.
And it's a big day.
It is a huge day.
It's a feast day.
It is a feast day.
We're definitely having pork that day.
Yeah, we are.
I might just have a bacon sandwich.
Yeah, we are. My fat count is going to be like
through the roof.
I don't know.
Yeah, this whole meal tracking thing.
Grams of fat for the day.
Yeah, this whole meal tracking thing is not going to work out so well.
I may have to just skip
on
Thursday.
The feast day of St. Anthony the Abbot.
Pray for us.
He is the patron saint of our podcast, and it's his feast day, and so he's the patron saint of smoked meats. I mean, come on.
He is, and we love breakfast meats all kinds of meats.
Yeah, but
especially breakfast meats in this house.
So like you started, you were just to monitor health a little bit. You started tracking everything you ate.
Yeah.
And you've come to the conclusion that one just can't eat breakfast.
No.
One can just not eat a breakfast because your whole day is now toast. It's good. Well, toast.
Toast. Get it. Yeah. No, it just sabotages your entire day. The way Americans eat breakfast with eggs and bacon and sausage and toast.
Don't
and
forget
butter
the potatoes.
And
don't forget the potatoes.
Potatoes. Yeah, you end up eating like about 1,000 to 1,500 calories just in breakfast. And it's like 50 grams of fat.
But what about the argument? Well, you burn it off.
I don't know. You got to run a long time.
I went on so I'm training for the MS 150, which is
the
bike ride across Houston.
Mm-hmm. And all the way to Austin, not just across
from Houston to Austin. Mm-hmm. And so it's 150 miles over 2 days. And I did a 25-mile ride the other day. Mm-hmm. And I have an app that tells me I put in my weight and it measures my distance and my elevation. Mm-hmm. And I burned like 2,400 calories.
Right.
In 25 miles.
Right. And it took like an hour and a half.
No, 2 hours. 2 hours and 15 hours. Minutes.
Okay.
I finished and I was like, great. Now I can have a Baconator.
Right.
It took me 2 hours and 15 minutes to burn off the equivalent of a Baconator.
And it takes about 6 minutes to eat 2,000 of those calories.
Oh, I can do it in four. Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
So. Well,
okay. One other thing I wanted to mention.
Yes.
We have to give a shout out to my sister and my brother-in-law because since Christmas, you have not snored.
No, I haven't. My snoring has ended. The guy with the mustache guy with the MyPillow, mm-hmm. he's got that stash where he's just kicking it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So for Christmas, my sister and brother-in-law, so Audrey's been on the show maybe six episodes ago or so.
Right.
It was called All in the Family. And then Cody's been on the show as well after Hurricane Harvey. And they bought you a MyPillow for
MyPillow
Christmas.
MyPillow is awesome.
And it has been a lifesaver for me. I don't have to go and sleep on the couch anymore because you don't snore anymore.
Well,
praise be to God.
I snore a little bit.
Not much, though. Not much. It wasn't like before. I bought you that new pillow and I thought it was going to be great. It was goose down feather things.
See?
I don't know. It even has turkey feathers in it, but
blame it on the pillow.
It was terrible.
Blame it on the pillow, not my jowls.
Whew. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I had to give a shout out there.
I'm glad that you actually get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. And then our major announcement.
Yeah, big one.
Don't be
big
clicking one. That though.
Oh, all right. I'm messing things with my hands over here.
Yeah. Our big announcement. Our big announcement. Go ahead. You can do the honors.
Oh, I get to do the honors?
Go for
you should
it.
Do the honors. So this is our first video version of the podcast. So we are actually doing a video version of the podcast, which we set up a Patreon account. So our podcast, the audio version of the podcast is not going to change. So if you are a loyal listener to the podcast, awesome. Keep it up. We appreciate you. If you want to support the show a little bit more, we've actually started a Patreon page, which allows for some exclusive content available at multiple tiers. We're making some really cool Salt and Light swag, and the Salt and Light swag is awesome, by the way.
Totally.
And so, you know, that's what we're doing. So we're video recording. So you get to look at our brilliant faces. And I will tell you, I'm you know, based on the camera angle, I may have to put a little powder on my head because the shine gets deep.
Every time I roll my eyes.
Yes. And you can count the eye rolls. And actually, I think people could make that into a drinking game. If they really, really want to.
Yeah, so you take a swig of coffee.
Yeah, well, I'm always taking coffee. So you'll get some exclusive content, the video version. We're gonna have availability for some I guess one-on-one calls,
yeah,
kind of thing. And you
know, and we'll extend the podcast as well. So like for this one in particular, this one will be this podcast that we're gonna be talking about today is a follow-up from last week's episode about the Latin Mass. And after we wrap the audio, the video will continue with some exclusive content. So,
right.
Yeah. So at every level, you can go on and see all of the cool stuff that you would get. And you can support the show for as little as $2 a month. Because honestly, this is a ministry. All of this comes out of our pockets. We don't get paid to do this. But some people started asking, we're in 45 different countries now. And some people started asking how they can support the show. And so, you know, to cover the costs of the website hosting, the podcast hosting, the video hosting, all of the equipment, the lights, like everything, it's not free. So if you're enjoying the show and you would like to help support the show, just go to patreon.com/saltandlightonline, all one word. And we'll put a link in the show notes as well. But we invite you to go and check that out and consider supporting the show.
Awesome sauce.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the veil.
The veil.
The veil.
The chapel veil.
Yeah. So, you know, last week we talked about going to Latin Mass. And one of the things you immediately see when you go to Latin Mass versus going to, you know, I was about to say going to traditional Mass, but I guess Latin Mass is traditional Mass. Yeah. So when you go to, when we would go to normal, I'll just call it normal
Novus
Mass.
Novus
Ordo. Yeah, word. Normal Mass. So when we would go to normal Mass at St. Martha's.
You'd say post-1969 or post-Vatican II Mass.
When we go to normal Mass at St. Martha's, I would typically see two women out of, I don't know, 500 that would wear a veil.
Right.
And one of those two was typically a nun. Right. And so most women are not veiled. When you go to the Latin Mass, it is 85 to 90%. Not everybody, but 85 to 90% of the women are veiled. Mm-hmm. And so you started wearing a veil before we went to Latin Mass and said that it changed your Mass experience. And so, you know, going to now to the Latin Mass, we've seen a lot more people that are doing that. So I thought it would be something to kind of talk about and explore. And you've got some really cool things that you can dive into.
Yeah.
Unpack it. We can lift the veil.
We can lift the veil. Let's peek behind the veil. Yeah. Last week's episode, we thought we'd do this as a follow-up because last week's episode, when we talked about the Latin Mass, it is quickly climbing the charts into our most popular downloaded episode ever, second to only our episode where we interviewed Bishop Robert Barron. And so we figured this was a topic that people were interested in.
Wait, come on. It's more popular than one of my top 10 lists?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I love top 10 lists.
Well, you know, I have to look at like the rate of the download because we did those top 10 lists several months ago. So, you know, that has had more time for people to download it.
Yes.
So, yeah. But the rate at which people are downloading the episode from last week,
it's not going to stay above it for very long.
No.
I love
episode 77
lists.
About the Latin Mass took off quickly. So, but yeah, we didn't really talk too much about veiling when we talked about the Latin Mass last week. And so, yeah, I think it's an episode that we can do exclusively, just all about that. And for myself, I wanted to do it because of a whole bunch of different reasons, one of which was what St. Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians. And when I did it, and I'll read that Bible verse, but I can tell you, you know, I'm trying to say 15 different things at the same time. When I veiled for the first time, my Mass experience was extraordinarily intensified. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that, I said in my talk, I was just up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The diocese asked me to come up and give a talk on Mary and the Eucharist. And so, by the way, if you subscribe to Patreon, I'll be uploading that talk and you'll be able to watch that talk as well. But I said in that talk, and I've said before on the show, you know, we are body and soul. And so things that we do with our bodies are very important, and they affect our spirituality. They affect our soul, and things we do with our soul then go ahead and affect our body as well. So you can't have one without the other, and they impact each other. And so the physical experience of wearing something on my head during Mass was an extremely intense experience. And it was one of reverence and smallness. And the thing that comes to mind for me is, everyone knows Saint, if you've listened to the show for a while, Saint Teresa of Avila.
She's one of your peeps.
She's one of my peeps. I just love her. And she talks so much about, references herself as a worm, right? Very small. You know, when she talks about herself in reference to God,
right.
You know, small and insignificant. So she calls herself a worm a lot. And, you know, that description came to mind because I felt it automatically kind of makes you feel humble. You know, it humbles yourself because you have covered yourself. Now, that's not to say that it made me feel like undignified or less of a person, or that it was demeaning because I'm a woman. It's not that. And I don't think the Lord would want that either.
Right.
I don't think Jesus would want us to feel, you know, demeaned and put down. And it wasn't that. Feeling small and feeling humble before the Lord is very different than feeling demeaned. And I think that is a distinction that is worth, you know, mentioning and noting. But that's very much my first reaction. What was my first reaction to that?
So when you say you felt small, like, is it almost like it, because you said it changed your mass experience, yeah, because it made you feel a lot more like you were focused.
Yeah, very much.
Does the physical, I'm going to use the physical, because the veil kind of comes down over your head.
Like blinders?
Yeah, kind of like blinders, uh-huh, on the side, and it focuses you forward.
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's like when horses wear those blinders when they're being, when they're pulling a carriage. Yeah. I mean, it does provide that, there is a physicality to it where, yeah, it does focus your attention all up front. And you're not being distracted by things that are going on in the side because you physically can't see it. I suppose that's how you might wear your veil as well. You know, and as in the video portion of this podcast, I'm going to actually demonstrate how to wear a veil and the different types of veils and how to, you know, how to put them on and how to make sure they don't fall off. So I'll be able to demonstrate that in the video.
I would help with talking. That, but the baldness doesn't
give me much to exactly grip. Much. I could tape it good. To your forehead.
Oh, awkward.
No, that's a good segue, though, because we can talk about men and women, and I'll read from St. Paul. So I mentioned what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and he says, "Any man who prays or prophesies with his head covered brings shame upon his head, but any woman who prays or prophesies with her head unveiled brings shame upon her head, for it is one and the same thing as if she had had her head shaved. For this reason, a woman should have a sign of authority on her head, because of the angels. Woman is not independent of man or man of woman in the Lord. For just as woman came from man, so man is born of woman, but all things are from God." So, and go ahead.
Now that's a departure from, and I don't profess to know this as much, but so men should not be veiled. They should not have their head covered during prayer, which is different than the Jewish tradition, right? Because in the Jewish tradition, and I'd love to say that I've done extensive studies and research, but I've watched some movies, and in the movies, the guys who played the Pharisees always had the cover, right? They were always kind of covered up completely.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whereas St. Paul says, no, men take, you know, and it's like you take your hat off when you go inside.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of respect, right? Yeah. You take your hat off when you go inside the house, right? When you go inside.
And I think that that's a really good point. And the reason for that is, of course, St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, one of the early Christian communities. And the reason that it's different than the Jewish tradition is because Christ is now the high priest and the church is his bride. And so when we talk about authentic masculinity and authentic femininity, we are very different. Praise be to God. And so
everything I can do, you can do better.
That's right. If only I just put down the man, then I'm a modern feminist.
That's right. Hashtag, what's it? Toxic masculinity. Yeah. I am oozing toxic masculinity, by the way. Read stories about toxic masculinity and I'm thinking, oh, I tell the kids to man up all the time. I'm terrible.
Anyway, so we talk about authentic masculinity and authentic femininity. And so men, ministerial priests in particular, stand in persona Christi.
Right.
And women represent the bride of Christ. Right. So we have very different roles within the mystical body of Christ. Right. And Ephesians, we always talk about Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. So
obey me. Lay my life down for you.
That's right.
I know what's up.
Yeah. So men are to sacrifice themselves for the woman.
But that's only if she obeys.
I entrust myself to you, knowing that you will sacrifice yourself for me.
I'd like to get back to this obey part.
I do obey. I just asked for advice yesterday. I obeyed. But yeah, so you know, men lay down their life. They sacrifice themselves just like Christ did. And women entrust themselves to their husbands, right? They're the men. And so when it comes to covering your head in prayer, you as a man would be representing the Christ figure, the masculine, the masculinity, right? So it would not be appropriate for you to cover your head. Whereas women, I am not a man. I am not, you know, imitating Christ's masculinity in that way. And I have a very different role. St. Paul says, men sacrifice themselves, but men are born of women. And so if we look at Mary's role in this, Mary contained the one whom the world cannot contain, right? Her womb contained the one whom the world cannot contain, says St. Augustine. So
I love how you just pulled that out. You didn't research that. You just knew it.
Just knew. Yeah. Well, so as women, you never see Mary, just about never. You never see her unveiled, right? She is someone who is holy.
I'm actually trying to think, and
yeah,
I can't think
about
of,
it.
I can't think of very many.
Yeah. So you not only are reverencing something by covering it, but St. Thomas Aquinas also says that we use clothing in order to beautify something. And so you see the Blessed Mother with her mantle, right? This beautiful cloth draped over her. And she has enclosed the Christ child, continually is in union with the Holy Spirit, bringing forth the Son continuously, not just like as a one-time use womb, but she perpetually...
A one-time use womb.
Yeah, she perpetually conceives and brings forth the Son. And she is veiled in reverence for that for whom she has conceived with in union with the Holy Spirit. And so... You know, based on, you know, St. Augustine and Aquinas, you know, talking about this, using clothing to beautify someone, using the Blessed Mother's example of that femininity, you know, we see the two different roles and how it's not appropriate that you cover your head any longer, but it is very appropriate that I cover my head, you know?
Okay. So why did that change?
Was
Vatican II, right?
That yeah, made actually the change? It was quite later than Vatican II. So the veiling didn't, okay, so it wasn't essential. In canon law up to 1917, I think it was required. Then it was optional but expected. Then in 1983, they removed the requirement altogether.
Okay.
So it actually was like a year after I was born.
Okay.
So it was, you know, relatively, you know, recently, considering all of church history.
Considering the church's history, mm-hmm. Right.
Considering church history, that they completely removed the requirement. But removing a requirement doesn't necessarily mean that you're not, it doesn't mean at all that you're not supposed to do it. It just means you don't have to anymore. But I mean, for as good as 2,000 years, women did.
Well, and I tell you, it's a great thing. You don't have to do your hair in the morning. You can sleep in a bit later. You don't have to do your hair before church. I'm just saying. So, but one of the things I did notice is that, especially when we've started to go to the Latin masses over the last few weeks, there's many more things in the church that are veiled, that are not veiled in the...
Novus Ordo.
Normal mass.
Yeah.
Right.
Post Vatican II mass.
Yes, those ones. So, like for example, the tabernacle. The tabernacle is. We talked about it last week. The tabernacle is veiled the entire time,
right.
And the only time that you can get a glimpse inside is when the priest is pulling things out and putting things in, mm-hmm. Right?
And those things being the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. But I digress.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Details.
During communion. Right. So, and then also the chalice is veiled.
Yeah. All the time.
And the whole front
of the altar.
Of the altar is veiled. And mm-hmm. then they turn it over for communion.
Right. Oh, so you're talking about the rail itself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the altar itself is veiled, but then the communion rail is veiled. And so, for anybody who hasn't been in a cathedral that has this, all churches used to have, it's like a fence right? That separates where the congregation sits from
the wall
from the sanctuary. So it looks like a low fence, and it's called the communion rail. And when you receive communion, you go up, you kneel down, and they drape a beautiful cloth, a veil, over top of that communion rail when you receive.
Yeah. So I noticed there's more things that are veiled, right? The altar, the altar, the chalice, the tabernacle, the communion rail. I mean, they're all veiled. And so there's a lot more, what's the word that I want to use? It's intentionality, right? There's a lot more intentionality as to the mystery and the respect.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah. Reverence for the sacred, really.
That's exactly what I said.
Right.
Kind of.
No, you did. So, and I think so I want to talk about the kids for a second.
Okay.
Because the kids, I don't think you need necessarily like a theology lesson in why this is a tradition that seems to be making a comeback. You know, I mean, people have started to ask me about like, why are you wearing that? What's going on, you know, and commenting. And I don't think I'll ever not do it again. It just was something that like was like a ping pong ball in my soul. Like it just like rocked around in there. And I think you don't need a theology lesson in it to recognize the beauty in it. And the reason I say that is because when I first started wearing it and we were at the Latin Mass, Charlie, who is our 7-year-old, he was 6 at the time. He looked at me and he said, "Mom, I really like that you're wearing that veil." I said, "Oh, you do? Really?" Because, you know, he's like a 7-year-old boy. So why would he notice these things?
I think it's so that you can't see him out the corner of your eye. He can get away with stuff.
I don't have to poke him in the ribs.
That's John. John is happy that you're wearing the veil because you can't see him doing stuff and he doesn't get in as much trouble.
Yeah. But Charlie said, I like that you're wearing the veil, Mom. I said, "Oh yeah, you do?" I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because Mom, you look like the tabernacle." And he said that during Mass. And so for the rest of Mass, I just sat and I thought about what he had said. And it's so interesting how children perceive truth and goodness and beauty. Like, they are so open to it, you know, and adults have been so jaded, but kids just have a way of being able to express truth and goodness and beauty in a way that I think just kind of makes adults pause. You're like, where did you come up with that? You know?
Right.
But he's right. I mean, in a way, and in a very real way, the tabernacle is veiled because within it is the real presence of Christ, which is sacred and holy and a miracle. And the chalice is veiled because it will contain the same thing, the real presence, you know, of Christ. And when we receive communion, we now contain the real presence. And so why wouldn't I veil myself out of respect of my God, right? Who I have come, you know, I have come to Mass to be united with my bridegroom, you know? And on our wedding day when we got married, I wore a veil.
Right.
And every time we go to Mass, I participate in the wedding feast of the Lamb. And so I go to meet my bridegroom and he offers his body, blood, soul, and divinity to me. And so I veil because it's a sign of respect and admiration and adoration and intense love of my Lord, right?
Well, and I can't put a clip in my hair. I'm just saying.
No. But again, so we do have the technology. I can tape it to your forehead.
But, you know, but I think to kind of put a bow on this thing or put a veil on this thing, I think something to think about is if you've never done it, what's it hurt to do, right? If you've never done it, because it was like a light switch for you in what it made you feel like, which was interesting to hear. At the very least, you should try it.
I think so. And I think, though, it's...
Pray about it first.
I think pray about it. And I think it's important to have not just your head veiled, but have a conversion of heart where your heart is veiled as well, if that makes sense. I mean, so...
That's a little deeper than what makes sense for me.
So what I'm trying to say is, I think, so if you do it just to do it, or do it to look different, or, I mean, but there is, I mean, at the same time, there is a countercultural aspect to veiling where you don't do it out in public. And so it is something that separates you from the outside world, which mass should anyway, because mass is where heaven and earth unite. It should be somewhere that takes you, you know, and is transcendent. And so there is that. But if you're just doing it as a physical means of, I just want to do something different, I'm not sure that that's an authentic enough reason.
And it may not mean the same.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't want to do it as like, I just got a new pair of shoes, I'm going to wear my new shoes to mass. You know, I wouldn't do the same thing with a veil, but I would pray about it and, you know, and see if your heart is ready to truly submit to the Lord. Because the veil, as a, I guess, a final wrap up, is very much a sign of submission. And surrender to Christ's love. So is your heart conformed to the fact that you are ready to surrender, to Christ's love and recognize your unworthiness, you know, before his very presence. So pray about that and then consider veiling. And then if you have any questions about it, you know, let me know. But I think we'll wrap up the audio portion here. And then I will, in the video portion, demonstrate. I'll show you a couple of the veils, the different kinds of veils and mantillas I have.
And how to put them on.
So, and if you're interested in supporting the show and getting this exclusive content, you can click the link in the show notes or go to patreon.com/saltandlightonline. So you have to make sure you add the online at the end. Otherwise you won't get it and you'll get somebody else.
Somebody else. All right. Well, St. Anthony the Abbot.
On his feast day, pray for us and peace be with you.
You've been listening to the Salt and Light Podcast. Be salt and light, glorifying the Lord by your life.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.